King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock.
That's what we call a sack lunch.
I do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Guesting we have for today, Dave Hooker. He's been on the show many times. It's been a while, but good to bring him back. Dave Hooker, he is up on Rocky Top. He has Off the Hook Sports, and you've heard him. I know back in the serious days you heard him on with me. Dave Hooker in about 15 minutes. Top of hour two, TJ Pittenger down in Tampa, and later J.C. Sherbert with TheBigSpur.com and also his collective, which is called Carolina Rise. That is the agenda. That's the guesting for today's show. 615-844-5600. That is a combo call-in text line. A lot of people prefer texting. That's why we went to that. Another way you can communicate with the show right there. That text line available all the time. 615-844-5600. On Twitter, at Bill Is King. And if you do want to email, BillIsKing7@gmail.com. Meetings down on the Emerald Coast. Today, tomorrow, and they will be concluded down on those sugary, white, sandy beaches of the lovely Emerald Coast. And guess what they have accomplished? Well, not much yet. Now, everything they've done is full of high accomplishment, right? But they're trying to hash out the future when it comes to scheduling. It's got to change because two schools, OU and Texas, are coming, and they want to adjust for the future regardless of all of that. Now, here's a given. They are going, after this year coming up, divisionless. There won't be divisions. That is not being debated. They are going divisionless beginning in 24, a year from now, when Texas and OU come into the league. The question is, what's the schedule format going to be? Is it going to be 8 games or 9 games? It's currently 8 games, but the structure will change. Regardless of that, it may stay at 8, probably won't. And if it goes to 9, we already know it's going to be a 3-6 format. 3 permanent opponents, which Nicky does not like. He wants everything to look like the NFL, which I could not be more disgusted with that thought than I am. I don't think I could be more disgusted, but that's That's not for right now. That topic isn't for the moment. The format is for the moment on this show. As of right now, they do not have an agreement. Couple things in play. Let's repeat. Number one, and they're not listing it this way. I'm listing it this way because it is the cold, hard truth. Number one, the money. Now, they're already, with their new deal, going to get a whole lot of money. CBS is going away, and they're going to make six times just with that contract what they were getting before on that CBS Saturday afternoon block. All that fresh money is going to be rolling in. But to add another game, which would be several games, right? That'd be eight more games. 16 teams, right? To add another league game, they're going to want more money, and ESPN has not promised more money. That's a problem. They're telling you that's not really the main thing. That is a filthy, rotten lie. That is absolutely the main thing. I am telling you right now, if they had a promise for sure on the money for the additional game, we would not be having this conversation about how nothing has been decided today. That would not be a conversation. It would already be nine games. Now, what they may do is come up with a temporary, we talked about this yesterday too, schedule format, which is eight games. And got to remember, it would be a 1-7 format, meaning games like Georgia-Auburn, Tennessee-Alabama would go nighty-night. Now, if they flip it in 25, let's say, to nine games, which they may do, that eight-game item might be just a temporary Band-Aid until they get a feel for things. So here's what they're saying. This is also really silly. They're saying they're not sure what the committee's going to be like. What do you mean you're not sure? You already know. You can get more teams in than any other league playing eight games when most every other league plays nine games. The committee doesn't care about that. If you're going to 12, that's even more. It's proven the committee doesn't care whether the SEC plays eight or nine games. They don't. I don't care whether they play eight or nine games. Doesn't matter to me a bit. You got to realize, of the last 17 national championships, the SEC has all of them but four. All of them but four. There's two Clemson, there's Ohio State, and there's Florida State. Am I leaving somebody out? Since Florida won it under Urban Meyer, his year two, Chris Leak quarterback, Tebow's a freshman that year, 06. Since Florida won it in 06, they've won every natty except 2010, 2013, and the two that Clemson have after that. It's the most dominant league by far. And it's the league that can get the most teams in by far. They don't think that going to nine games necessarily, reason-wise, has anything to do, at least they shouldn't, with how many teams you're going to get in when they expand here in a year to 12 teams. It's going to be times three what it is now. So that's what they're working on or trying to work through, and maybe nothing ultimately long-term gets concluded. Now, the coaches met Tuesday, Wednesday, it's the ADs today. Now, if the ADs don't have anything to vote on, which we don't really know yet, presidents rubber stamp everything on Friday. But again, what are they getting? What form is this going to look like if anything is delivered, right? If anything, that is unclear. All of that is very unclear as we sit right now. So they're meeting down in lovely Sandestin. trying to work through this, and I'm not being critical, really, because this is tough. I mean, you have disagreement in there. You have about four or five schools who do not want to go to nine games. Their thinking is, and it's not the same as Nick's, but this could be the difference in winning six games or less and having a losing record some random year. Some schools don't like the idea of that because you schedule another league game, the likelihood that you could lose a game increases as opposed to playing Betty Crocker U, as opposed to playing Popcorn State, right? That's what you're up against right now. And that's what there's a division, there's a battle going on, and they might well adopt a temporary 8-game schedule for 24. Nothing matters about 23. Everything is in place. The old format is in place through this season coming up. It changes in 24. Will it be temporary and then something long term? That's what appears to be happening right now, but it is not done. There's no ink on the paper, and the ink on the paper isn't dry either. Nothing has been concluded yet. Quick note, okay, on basketball. The draft deadline hit. Oh, Josiah Jordan James is coming back to Rocky Top. I saw that. Oscar Shigwe's gone. He had a chance to come back. He's gone. He's considered a borderline second-round pick. He's a phenomenal college player, but the NBA doesn't like him all that much. He made a lot of money, good money at Kentucky. Could have come back, made that money, but he's leaving. Antonio Reeves is coming back, but they don't know if he's coming back to Kentucky. Now, that's kind of interesting. He was a fantastic player for them last year. Now, he didn't play well in that loss to Kansas State, but he was very good for them, and he was a surefire perimeter shooter. And they could use him. They're very thin. And Chris Livingston's not coming back, but that was expected for them. So a little bit of news. Just doing a little, I know. Little basketball item there as we get started today on the show. Dave Hooker from Off the Hook Sports. He's up on Rocky Top. He will join us. We'll let you know how you can get all this content. He does shows every day. And we'll talk about some of these items here. We'll get up to Rocky Top and talk about some of the items that were aforementioned here on the show. A little later, TJ with us. Hour two, hour three, J.C. Sherbert. Just getting started, y'all. Just maybe busted a half grape there. About a bunch to bust before these 3 hours are over. Okay, busted maybe a half a grape. Omni Nashville Hotel, where we will be tomorrow. We'll be on the road tomorrow.
Morning traffic still running a little bit slow on 24 eastbound through that section of Cheatham County where we had that earlier wreck around the 30-mile marker. Hopefully that'll start to improve here in the next few minutes as traffic increases 24 westbound up through the Hickory Hollow area as that traffic builds out of Rutherford County, Murfreesboro, headed towards Nashville. A little bit of radar in parts of Rutherford County this morning. Do be careful. Hey, it's time to call Crest Pest Control. They do more than your average pest control company. Check them out online today at crestpestcontrol.net. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hello, this is Philip Cox from Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. Are you looking for new and exciting things to do with the family during the spring and summer months? Thanks to Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, you don't have to look any further. Sign up today for Kids Bowl Free, a summer pass starting in May where kids 15 and under receive two free games of bowling every day. You can also purchase a family pass that allows you to join the fun as well. Visit any of the five local Strike and Spare locations in Hendersonville, Murfreesboro, Donelson, Hermitage, and Tusculum to register or just visit kidsbowlfree.com/Strike and Spare. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
new spring deals are here at Lowe's. Start planting your garden this weekend with Bonnie 11.8-ounce vegetables. Buy four for $10. Plus, liven up your patios and decks with fresh blooms. Select 1.5-gallon hanging baskets or two for $16. Lowe's knows spring. Lowe's knows home improvement. Offers valid through 5/17. In-store only. Actual plant size and selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Today is the day. Today is the day you empty your garage and closets of your old tech. Today is the day you hang up on that dial-up modem. Today is the day you tell that old GPS to get lost. Because while Staples recycles old tech for free each and every day, today, during Staples' free tech take-back, rewards members get $10 in Staples rewards when they recycle their tech. Cut the cord on your old tech and recycle it at Staples. N617, limit one reward per month. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/recycling for details.
There's a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame induction weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience filled with family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 21st through the 24th for the induction of Fred McGriff and Scott Rowland as the class of 2023. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
It's a Bill King Show.
Pac-12 football is a joke. It's a laughing stock. It has been left behind by Father Time a long time ago. It has not been prominent in a decade at least. And do you want to know why? God-forsaken leadership. That's why.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Bill King doesn't need a countdown clock because he already knows when football season starts.
Dave Hooker with us, Off the Hook Sports, up on Rocky Top. One moment stands out when it comes to Dave Hooker for me. It was 08. Dave's on my show, the SiriusXM show, and I'm telling Dave I'm skeptical that at the time the AD at Tennessee, Mike Hamilton, would fire Philip Fulmer. I said, I'm skeptical. I don't think he's got the spine. I don't think he has the guts to do it. And Dave said, I think he does. And this is when nothing had been decided or settled. Tennessee was stumbling along. Cutcliffe was gone again. They were rudderless, and Hamilton pulled the trigger. Dave, you remember this?
I remember that well, and I remember part of the reason that I felt so confident. I don't know that I've shared this story publicly, but I remember doing the interview with Mike Hamilton as an exclusive interview and getting that sense, but you know, he said this is not supposed to be a six-win type of program, and that was the lead quote. And I remember texting Mike. I said, I appreciate the time, and he texted me back, and it was very fair. And I did your show the next day, and at practice that day, Philip Fulmer was not happy about the tenor of the story that ran. And I said, well, I don't know what you're hearing, but I'll share with you that Mike, and I started in the text, said that he thought the story was very fair because I texted him that morning. And I think that moment on the practice field, and I'm not exaggerating, I think that's when Philip Fulmer knew that he was in serious trouble because he was hearing things from the athletic department and possibly Mike that was not the same that Mike was thinking. And he thought, Fulmer thought he had complete support. And I think at that point you realized that there was serious trouble afoot. So, yes, I remember that because you were the first person I spoke to the media after visiting with Philip that day on the practice field. So I remember that very well.
How about that? That might have been the true come-to-Jesus moment for Philip in that whole story.
Well, it was it was the only time I can remember that Philip didn't have to have the last word. And there was just kind of this resignation, drop the head, turn, walk away, and that conversation was over. And I kind of felt like I was in the middle of it, and I didn't want to be in the middle of it. But, I do believe that was the very moment that Philip Fulmer realized that he might not be the head coach at the Vols for much longer.
Dave Hooker with us on this Thursday edition. Dave, let's fast forward to present. Down in Sandestin, they have not come to a schedule conclusion. There is talk that maybe they will come up with a temporary, maybe 1 year decision based on 8 games, which means Tennessee, Alabama would go nighty-night. That would be no longer a permanent matchup.
That makes me physically ill almost. And we could argue what's best for Tennessee right now and what's best for Josh Heupel and, you know, Nick Saban, even though they beat him last year, you wouldn't think that would be a regular sort of thing if Nick Saban gets Alabama back to where he's had them for so long. But just the Tennessee-Alabama series going away, as a guy that's born and raised in Knoxville, that has to happen. I can see the argument for a Florida, and we know what that meant in the 90s, Phil, and that was fantastic. But still, Alabama's Alabama, and it is the one rivalry that, you know, has its own nickname. It's the one rivalry that I think a lot of people pay attention to. And there are a lot of things in football that people don't like that have changed recently, such as payers getting played and NIL being able to transfer. That I'm in the minority. I do like those things. But there are some traditions, like the Tennessee-Alabama games, that I don't want to see go away. The Georgia-Auburn rivalry would be another one. And those just don't need to go away. But I understand that it would change some heartache, and that might well happen. I hope it doesn't. We've still got a couple of days in Destin, I guess.
To the football team on the field, I've seen you on your show a couple times. I don't know that you've said it recently. Maybe you have. That you could see a situation where Nico takes over the quarterback job this year.
I've said that. I've softened on that stance, quite frankly. Here's what I was told by people within the athletic department, that nobody was ever worried about Joe Milton just saying, hey, I'm the next guy up and I've got this job, no worries. Nobody was concerned about that. But if there was any concern whatsoever, that when Nico showed up on campus, Joe Milton quickly said, whoa, I got to make sure and dot all the I's and cross all the T's here. And I think that that's exactly what he's done. I think there's a number of reasons not to make a change and let things go really off the rails. And one is Joe Milton is kind of a team favorite. He's a different sort of leader than Hendon Hooker. He's more outspoken. I think you saw that on his New York trip. But I think the players really, really like him, and that is going to be a factor in any sort of decision. I don't think there's a decision to be made right now. I think he's the starter until his play proves otherwise. So, yes, I've softened on that stance from the beginning of spring camp and going through spring camp. Now, I think Nico showed up with enough ability, and that could get Tennessee fans excited, to get Joe Milton's attention. So that's a good thing on both ends. But as of now, unless Joe plays really poorly, I think it's his job throughout the season to lose.
Question here on the text line. What are the odds they can have a season coming up here similar to a year ago? That successful?
Okay, I think that is actually really good. Now, you have to beat Alabama or Georgia to have the type of season that they had last year. They could lose both of those games and still have a fantastic season and be in the running for the college football playoff. Probably would make those 2 losses. And so, yes, I think that's possible because of who they have returning, and the defense, I believe, will be better. Offensively, I realize they lose Darnell Wright, and I'm not trying to say that that's not a significant loss. It very much is, but I think Tennessee's offensive line as a whole will be pretty good this year. So I also think they'll get more playmaking ability out of the running back position. And I love Dylan Sampson. Based off people I talked to, he had an incredible spring. Dylan Sampson had the best spring, and then anybody else had a good spring. So I do believe that Tennessee can match that sort of 10-win season. I really think the real rub is going to be 2024 and what happens there, because those are John Heupel high school recruits. They're not Pruitt guys any longer, and you can only survive on transfer guys so long. You've got a lot of boosters doling out right now for the Dante Thorns of the world, and it's nothing more than a bidding war. It goes to another school, what can I get? And then goes to Tennessee, what can I get? So those guys only want to dole out those dollars so long. So I think Tennessee can replicate what they did last year to some extent with a 10-win season. I think 2024 is when it gets really, as one person told me within the program, quote, dicey, because Tennessee has not recruited the uber type of prospect out of high school. They've, to this point, lived on Jeremy Pruitt's recruits and transfers. Next year, that's not going to be the case, talking about 2024.
Some of the young guys that can impact, true freshmen, you may want to throw transfers in there too. They're not so young, the transfers, but do a couple stand out?
Dylan Sampson's kind of sort of a newcomer, so you're going to hear me harp on that all offseason, because I do believe he's going to be the next superstar at Tennessee. So I think Dante Thornton and Coral White, who we've seen Coral White, but who is that guy in that slot position that Jalen Hyde excelled at last year? I think it's one of those two guys. Could Coral White be so good that Dante Thornton slides out to the outside receiver position, possibly? Keenan Pille, another transfer, I think that he is a locked-in starter from day one and will be really good. You know, the guy that I'm really curious about is Cam Felton. You know, back in the day, Bill, because you've got the history, the Kirsten Biggers of the world, the David Yanceys of the world, that get a lot of carries in spring camp and then never do anything in the fall. I don't think Felton will be that guy. So at the running back position, maybe he provides a little bit more power and a little bit more depth. So I would certainly look at him. Not a freshman at all, but I expect Brew McCoy to have a breakout season. I think with the transfers, he was kind of lost in the shuffle last year. Defensively, I think that Tennessee will be better all around. Do they have a shutdown corner right now? Probably not. So that sort of guy could emerge. But, you know, as far as it sounds crazy, there was a, you know, you think of a roster turnover, you don't have a lot of experience, but actually Tennessee has one of the more experienced teams in terms of seniors and playing time in the nation, I was reading recently. So I don't know that there's a spot for a true freshman to step in right away, other than the maybe Selden. But I don't know that this roster is built for that right now, nor needs that.
Dave Hooker is with us. Always good to have him on Off the Hook Sports. We'll let you know how you can get all of his content as well. Dave, baseball team starting tomorrow at Clemson and the regionals. What's the feel there? Are they? They've been very bipolar this year. Let's face it. It's hard to get a read on them. Which team do you think we get?
I think you'll get a team that still has very, very good pitching. Yeah, the pitching wasn't fantastic early in the year with the guys you had, Burns, Dillander, that. Yeah, and Beam, that were expected to be elite guys. But you had Andrew Lindsay come on and provide a boost. So I think quietly this team is a threat to make a serious run. They were not quiet at anything last year. And I think there's something to be said for having to go on the road and prove your worth a little bit. All that being said, you know, Clemson hasn't lost since April. So, you know, Clemson is really, really good, red hot. You look at them and you're trying to find out, you figure out why they're so good. They don't have elite pitching. They don't have great hitting. But they just find ways to win. And that's a scrappy type of team that was the exact opposite of Tennessee last year, that was just loaded with talent and was trying to find ways to lose it. So this team has flown under the radar, but that doesn't mean that they can't go out and make some noise in the postseason. I tend to think they can. I mean, they'll play Charlotte first. I don't think that's a concern. You know, they do have the Fisher kid who's hit 30 home runs this year. But, yeah, I think ultimately it's Clemson and what Tennessee should be worried about. And if they can advance, it's big for the program, obviously. But I think it would tell Tony Vitello something as far as you don't have to be as braggadocious and just over the top as they were last year. And that was fun, but I don't know that it's sustainable.
I hadn't even heard of Cam Fisher, and Johnny Vegas down in Destin sent me a note, said, Bill, this kid here is the new home run king for this year in college baseball. And I looked him up, and he's from Hardin County right there. From right there, you know, in your area. I'd be shocked if Tennessee's not poaching him.
Oh, yeah, and the transfer, everything changes. My mind is still resetting a little bit. Even though it's been a few years. Yeah, I mean, why not? You get a good look at him up close. You say, hey, why don't you come be a Vol? Yeah, I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility. I do think that Tennessee's collective, and we talk about Spire Group all the time, I do think they could be more inclusive of other sports. And I understand that revenue is revenue, and you've got non-revenue sports and revenue sports. But I think that for the overall health of the program, certainly that those type of guys could be gone after. And they were with Ahuna, who's been a little bit of a disappointment this year. But certainly I didn't think about that. But, yeah, maybe you could just go offer him an NIL deal after the game. I'd just walk up to him and say, "Here, what do you think about coming back to Knoxville?" That's a possibility.
Dave, only got about a minute. Is there a critique with the Spire Group, which is Tennessee's very, probably not old enough to be legendary, but very well-known national collective, that they only cater to the football guys?
Yeah, I think there's some of that there. I think there's some of that that they cater to the superstars as well. But as a whole, I mean, we would be nitpicking. I think they want their guys to be their guys, and I think that sometimes they limit their publicity locally, especially if you look at LSU. LSU has players all over every billboard in town with a personal injury attorney. So, I mean, but we're nitpicking again. I mean, it would be like looking at Tennessee's 98 team and trying to find problems with the 13 of those seasons.
Dave, tell everybody, got about 10 seconds, how they get Off the Hook Sports.
OffTheHookSports.com. It's that simple. OffTheHookSports.com. We greatly appreciate it. And on Twitter, @DDaveHooker.
See you, man. Appreciate it, Dave.
Anytime.
There is Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports. Very good. Very, very good. He told me Mike Hamilton does have the guts to fire Philip Fulmer. This was back in 08. We'll get the break. TJ coming up top of the hour. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning, as traffic volume starts to really pick up now on 24 westbound up by Bell Road, Hickory Hollow Parkway. All that traffic coming in right now from Rutherford County, pretty much on schedule. Not only there, but I-40 at Donaldson Pike, as that traffic through Hermitage starts to build, especially westbound. Behind it, you got that push of traffic already coming in from Wilson County through the Mount Juliet area, headed towards Nashville. Hey, Nash Painting, they service all of Middle Tennessee. These guys are absolutely the best across the board. Check them out online at nashpainting.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud sponsor of the Atlanta Braves and the Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients in state and federal court throughout the state of Tennessee, all the way to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
Back once again to tell you about Bongo Java, Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh, locally roasted coffee, classic handcrafted espresso drinks, and fresh baked goods all day long. Start your day with an American or cold brew, or for a taste of Music City, grab a West End latte flavored with local honey and cinnamon. A breakfast club biscuit or an everything all at once sandwich will fill you up and let you focus on your day. Bongo Java also has you covered for lunch with tasty deli sandwiches served on fresh baked ciabatta bread, like the I'll Have What She's Having or the Godfather. Bongo Java, open 7 days a week from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Enjoy a fresh cup of Bongo Java in the heart of Music City. Bongo Java is the Nashville way to start the day. Bongo Java in the Omni Nashville Hotel, downtown 5th Avenue, Music City.
Golfers, swing into Edwin Watts Golf Shops. We've been serving golfers since 1968. Let us help you find the hottest gear from bags, balls, shoes, and apparel, all in stock at the best prices. Come in and test drive the latest arrivals from Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, Ping, and more. While you're there, get custom fit by one of our golf experts. Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee. Shop us in store or online at edwinwattsgolfshops.com.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Tennessee needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
We've heard collaboration more than I think I've heard in my...
It is the word of the year for the Titans right now.
So is that your word, Rand, or was that already here and you've become groomed to the word collaboration?
I would say it's our word.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Another collaborative phrase there. Thank you, man.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
Got the exculpatory evidence on college sports. It's Bill King.
Joel down on the Emerald Coast said, Bill, I heard a little clip from Kirby Smart yesterday talking about being more concerned about the team not going to the championship, having an advantage over the ones that do. Now, he's talking about going to the SEC title game. Let's think about this. In the future, let's say we get through 24 and the 9-game schedule kicks in, the 3-6 format. I'm just saying, what if? We do not know that yet. Would you be better off not playing in your league championship game if you're one of those chalky teams? Not saying for everybody, but would you be better off? Now, it might not be a case where if you lose, you don't get in. You're probably already in. If you're in the SEC or the Big Ten, you're likely in if you're in your championship game, right? Clemson, Florida State, probably the same way. Let's just stay with those three leagues. We could go further, but let's just keep it small right now in the conversation. Is it all that important to play in your championship game? Now, you're going to say, yeah, Bill, because it's league pride. You want to win your league. That's something you will remember. I get it. No, I get it. But I think that's kind of less important. Do you think anybody remembers? Right now, let me ask you a question. Can you go back and give me a random who just won their league conference tournament in basketball? Can you go back through and circle the importance of that? Let me know how that went. I believe that was Alabama, right, in the SEC. Who won the Big Ten? Was it Purdue? I think. Now, Purdue didn't do so well in the NCAA tournament. Oh, Noel Cav just sent a message, too. The big kid, that 7'1 kid, 7'3 kid, is back. He announced he's coming back. I did not know that. I actually like him. Yeah, he's big and he's kind of stiff. I mean, how are you going to be 7'3 and be Mr. Super Athlete guy? That's not what you're going to be. I always like watching him. I know that it's kind of boring. I get it. But I always like watching him. He's back. But, yeah, it may be better off for your team's health if you don't go to your league championship game. Will league championship games become somewhat like the basketball tournament, league tournaments, where some teams aren't into it at all? Now, again, it's different. This is only two teams as opposed to the entire league playing. But still, will it minimalize for the chalky teams that you already know you're going? You may not know what you're seeded yet, unless you win your conference tournament. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It might minimalize everything. That's a good point. Steven down in Athens, Georgia. Bill, the Georgia's Auburn, called the Deep South's oldest rivalry, has been played 127 times. Seventh most played rivalry in the NCAA. Alabama, Tennessee has played 105 times. He says, I'm not trying to compare these games to the Iron Bowl, but just for reference, the Iron Bowl has been played 87 times. Very good points, but we all know what's going to happen. No, very good points. But the Iron Bowl is 100%. Georgia, Florida is 100%. Georgia, Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama goes 99. If, well, we go to 1-7, which they might well do for a year. I still think, now let me say this, guys. The 1-7 could be temporary. That might come out today or tomorrow. Might. The feeling is still, ultimately, they're going to go to 9 games, which would be a 3-6. And that would be preserved. You would not lose Georgia-Auburn. You would not lose Tennessee-Alabama with a 3-6. It might be a temporary loss. Maybe in 24 they don't play. But I don't think that's going to be permanent. And eventually they'll probably get the money right that they're looking for. That's the sticking point, y'all. I'm telling you, the biggest lie in this whole conversation is the money. It's not what this is about. It's 100% what this is about. If they already had an ESPN number, here's what you're going to get for that extra game, we would not be debating 8 versus 9 right now. I promise you that. There's lies all over the street when it comes to this stuff. That's the latest lie. Jamie says, Bill, Hardin County is in Savannah. It's in West Tennessee. Then I've got the wrong county then. But he's from up Knoxville area. That Cam Fisher kid. Now I must have the wrong county. I must have blurted out the wrong county there. Steven points out, though, Bill, you got to remember the winner of the league, though, will be a top four seed, which means you get a bye. It's a good point. So you beat yourself up in the league championship game, but if you win it, you get a bye because you're one of the top four. Now, remember, the top six are automatic bids, but the top four get byes. And if you're an SEC team, you most assuredly is going to be in that top four, right? Which would put you in a bye situation, which means you can save yourself a week. It's a good point. Now, you're still going to beat yourself up in that ball game. But yeah, you've got some time to heal. Very good point by him. We'll get another break here. TJ coming up top of the hour. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. We watched traffic volume increase quite a bit coming out of Dixon County on 40 eastbound all the way up to Kingston Springs. It's heavy right on schedule on 24 westbound. As you approach Bell Road, Hickory Hollow Parkway coming in from Rutherford County, watch for some radar in sections of Rutherford and Coffee County this morning up and down I-24. Hey, now's the time to call Crest Pest Control. They do way more than your average pest control company. Check out a list of their services at crestpestcontrol.net. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Nashville, start your engines. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix is coming to the streets of downtown Nashville. Experience 3 days of racing, music, family fun zone, food trucks, and more. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix is August 4th through August 6th. From stadium super trucks flying through the air to open wheel IndyCar racing that turns right. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix has something for every race fan. There's music all day, every day. And don't miss the Friday and Saturday night concert under the stars. And they have rides for the kids provided by Wesley Mortgage. The streets of Music City come alive August 4th through August 6th. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. Grab your tickets before they're gone and log on to musiccitygp.com. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. It's more than a race, it's a festival.
Breaking news.
Tax refund shock is everywhere, but what is it?
My tax refund shrank!
Mine too.
The culprit? Pandemic-related stimulus payments and tax credits expiring. In this reporter's opinion, you need a tax expert.
Hey guys, Jackson Hewitt guarantees your biggest refund.
And tax prep is 50% off? Going there now.
50% off is a limited-time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max value $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50 for terms.
Today on Hey Culligan, how smart is your water? Here's Tracy.
Hey Culligan, I think my water might be dumb.
Good news, Tracy. Your water's not dumb. It's just not talking to you.
You can make my water talk.
No, but the new Culligan Smart Drinking Water System can talk to your phone to tell you when your water filters need changing and help you meet drinking water goals.
Now that's some brilliant H2O.
You said it, Tracy, and we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C, A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
You like tackle football? Bill King does, and you can connect with @BillIsKing on Twitter or 615-844-5600.
Supposedly, reportedly, let me also say allegedly, five teams of the 14 in the SEC are four right now a nine-game league slate. They would vote for it, but that's not enough. You need a simple majority. Right now, there are 14 teams, so you would need eight. You need three more. Here are the supposed five that support a nine-game league schedule. Florida, Georgia, LSU, Missouri, and A&M. The rest of the league supposedly would not vote for it. I'll give you that list again. Florida, Georgia, LSU, Missouri, surprising to me that they're in that group, and Texas A&M. No Alabama. Nick has been chirping for centuries about playing more league games. That changed a couple of months ago. I mean, that baby did a 180 just a couple of months ago when one of the college football national writers put out a speculative, this is who your permanent opponents would be list. And Alabama had Auburn, obviously. That one, that's cool. Yep. LSU and Tennessee. Again, let's repeat. Teams they already play, right? You get those every year anyways. Tennessee's your permanent out-of-division opponent. And inside your league, your division, you're going to get Auburn and LSU, etc., right? The way the setup is right now. That one is the most funny of all of this. That one is funny because Nick is so powerful. It's funny because he's such a domineering guy. He is. Nick Saban is ultra powerful. And Nick's done a 180 on this thing. Anybody got the guts to post it to like that to Nick? That's if you're looking for a little comedy, I think that right there would do it. Topwater Assassin, dumb question, Bill. No, there's no dumb questions. Says Clemson is hosting the Super, even if they get knocked out. No. If Clemson doesn't advance, you're not going to be playing anymore at Clemson. Clemson is the 1 seed. Tennessee's the 2 seed there at Howard's Rock. Clemson is as hot as any team in America right now. Will that continue? I've got some lotto tickets on Clemson. I've got one on Tennessee, too. I'm going to add more to that. I haven't done any more yet. I forgot about it. I was thinking about it yesterday, and then I got busy outside, and I forgot about it. But I'm going to add a few more teams. I've got a couple Clemson lottos. I've got a Tennessee lotto. I have a Stanford lotto. And I'll add a couple of more. I'm not sure, but I want value, too. I'm not looking for Wake Forest or Florida, right? I want long-distance value there. That's what's fun about it. Yeah, that's what the most fun would be, is to hit one from distance. Not something like Florida. I think Florida is the best baseball team. Right now, if you look at personnel and performance, I think Florida is the best team. Where we sit right now. Jim Wilco down in Boca. Morning, Bill. Try the newest summer footwear fashion. It's called the Nicky Saban Flip Flops, size 9. Okay, that's pretty funny. I got to admit, I know Alabama fans, don't be so sensitive. That's pretty funny. Ken down in Middle Georgia says, Bill, I like to see all conference regular season, but it ain't happening. In regard to the schedule model being discussed in Sandestin, Greg Sankey is the only person who I've heard so far use the word fixed instead of permanent. And he said that's what it will be until it is changed. He wants to go to 9. Yeah, he absolutely wants to go to 9. They know what he wants. As of right now, I don't think they have the votes. Unless somebody flips today, they don't have the votes. But, folks, this is about the money. Think about what you could make. If they add a 9th game, which I do think eventually they will, not only could you eventually get more money from ESPN, which right now they're not offering. I think that'll probably change. But that's huge. That's number one. But not only could you get additional ESPN money, but think about the tickets and the sales for your home game every other year. That'd be another SEC league game every other year for you, which in ticket sales at some of these places could be $10 million, right? That's a nice little pocket money. They're going to go to 9 yards. It just might not be today. They're going to 9. Might not be till 25. I'm convinced of that. All right, we'll get the break. TJ coming up, Omni Nashville Hotel.